Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, a familiar couple of verses here. I want to ask a question that Jeremiah, that actually the Lord is, because it is, thus saith the Lord here, but as we get to that verse here in a moment, where do you glory? Where do you boast? What do you make your boast in? God asks that question here, and he illuminates some of that for us. So let's read verses 23 and 24. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee. We thank you for this time now that we tune our hearts and minds to you. We turn our hearts and minds to your word. We ask that you would use it now in our hearts. Father, as we look at this passage, you ask us, even in our day, where are we glorying? Where is our boast? May it be in you, in what you are and what you are doing. For that is not misplaced. May we not boast and glory in those things which are temporal. These things which last for just a little time and then vanish away. Father, draw the lost unto thyself this morning. May they not leave this place till they know and have a full assurance that their sins have been forgiven. They've been white as snow, cleansed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in their place for their sins. May we who are believers, Father, instruct us. Help us to keep our hearts, our minds, our all focused on you. So that truly, yes, we may glory, we may boast in you. For you are truly worthy of all that we could give of ourselves to lift you on high. Do that work in each of our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But we ask that question, where do you glory? As men, we are almost always glorying about something. We like to bring things up. If you're a grandparent, do you glory in your children? I don't know of too many grandparents that don't. We may not have the long thing that you pull out, you know, the olden days when you'd pull your wallet out and watch the fanning worth of all the pictures. Here's my grandchildren. And now we just pull out the smartphone and say, here, let me show you that. And we work our way through them. We show them off. I say we. I'm using that kind of figuratively. I'm not a grandfather. I don't have any grandkids yet. But you know what I'm referring to, you that are grandparents or great-grandparents. You glory in those, and rightfully so. I'm not knocking that. It is a joy to have those grandchildren, those great-grandchildren, but we glory in them. Or we may glory in our newest addition to some collection that we may own. And again, not to knock those things. We have, you know, some just cause, if you will, to do so, but they, to me, pale in comparison as we look at our passage this morning. These things are fine and good, but God, through Jeremiah, reminds us of where our real glorying ought to reside. Because we will glory in something. It will consume us. It will be the focus of our hearts and lives. But is it the right thing? Again, nothing wrong with grandchildren, great-grandchildren, these things, but you know, they are all temporary. Children will live forever somewhere, yes, they will. And I trust that we pray for them, that we will see them and be united with them one day in heaven. But is that a guarantee? It's not. They too must come to Christ as their Savior just like we did. And we can certainly pray. We can encourage. We can share the Word of God to help see them come to know Christ, but that is a decision, an act that they do for themselves, as much as we may want that to happen. I can't make it happen. God is the one that works in the heart. But as he lays this out, he says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." As much as the scriptures speak of wisdom, it says, "Let not him glory in the wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might." Why? Our wisdom can quickly disappear. How many of us have been made very much apparent that an older generation is not quite as sharp as they used to be? Dementia has crept in. Alzheimer's has crept in. And that once wise man, wise lady, is now losing that. We don't have it all the time. That person who is strong and mighty, as we get older, we realize I don't have that strength like I used to have. Things that I used to do when I was younger, I don't think about that now. My body says, you know what, you better not try that. You're going to regret it. We're not going to have that might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Why? Because they come and go. How's your 401k doing? How's our retirement doing? Again, I'm not blaming Trump, but his efforts to improve things for the United States, and he told us this beforehand, it's going to be troublesome. People have looked at the stock market and said, there's been a vast lowering of that. I haven't looked at my 401 to see what it's like. Not much there to begin with anyway, but it can easily disappear. And where we once were wealthy, all of a sudden now we're not. And we've lost that generation that can remember as young adults, the Great Depression. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law were just old enough to grow up during it. They were born in 1926. And so they remember growing up in it. But for those that were a bit older, though, that generation is pretty much almost gone. Those that are, 100 years old. Being born in 26, they're coming up on 99 years old if they were still around. Be older in order to remember it a little more and a better way of realizing how it impacted their lives. But those of us that are older have had those opportunities to know some of those that were alive, that went through those things. and realized that, you know, what they had all of a sudden disappeared. No longer did they enjoy the wealth of the time. It was gone. With no seeming way of regaining it. After year after year after year after year. But those things, they come and go, and God is trying to remind the Israelites, ultimately he's trying to remind us in our day. These are not the things that we are to glory in. Because these ebb and flow within our lives, they come and go. Whether it be Solomon, whether it be Christ, whether it be others, remind us of these things that, yes, they do come and go. Psalm 20, verse 7 notes, he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. He says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Solomon noted in Proverbs 23, verses 3 and 4, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And so God reminds us of those things. Is there something wrong with money? No. We need it. But it's not that which should be the focus of our lives. Not to glory in, not to boast in, because it can be here and disappear just as quickly as it came. But he brings again our focus where it needs to be, but him that glorieth, that is he who boasts. And that Hebrew word is used both ways. He's using it here completely as glory, but it's that idea of boasting. We glory in our God, should we not? Should we not boast in our God? He's God. He's worthy of that. And so he reminds us of that. We are to glory in these things. It says, but let him that glorieth glory in this. What? That he understandeth and knoweth me. So let's continue that question. How well do you understand God? Say, well, wait a minute. Isn't he omnipotent? Yes. Isn't he omniscient? Yes. Isn't he immortal? Yes. Isn't he infinite? Yes. He's all that and so much more. He's beyond our comprehension. Yes, there's the unfathomable riches of his. Yes. And with all of that, he still encourages us, understand me. Make the effort. Seek him out. Again, coming back to this, read his word. Pray. You want to know about God? You want to understand God? Our nose needs to be in this book. Because he's given us this, his word. Why? So that we can understand him to the best of our, yes, limited abilities, our finite abilities. But yet he shows himself to us. He takes us into his room, so to speak. And he shows himself to us. But we must seek him out for that. Think of Moses back in his day. A man who would stand before God and he said, I want to see you. Said, well, that's not exactly possible, but let me put you in a little cleft of the rock and put my hand in front of you and let me pass by you and see my hinder side. When you read the life of Moses, you find a man who wanted to know and understand God to the best of his abilities. Was he perfect? No, we know that. Just like the rest of us are not. But he sought to understand God, to know him. And we know him because of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place for our sins. He is the one that has brought us back together with our Heavenly Father, whom we were separated from because of our sin. And we can know him. We can grow in him. We can learn in him. But he continues with those things that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Notice that word Lord, all capital letters. The Hebrew Jehovah or Yahweh, depending on which way you want to look at this, but same word. The I am that I am of Exodus chapter 3. As Moses is there at the burning bush that is burned yet not consumed. And he asked that question, what's your name that I can give to the Israelites when I go there? I am that I am hath sent you. Yahweh, the ever-living one, the eternal one, the one that is, the great I am, self-existing. He's not past, he's not future, he's present. I am. He always is. He's unchanging. And he opens the door for us to know him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ reminded them, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They're one. Just as the Holy Spirit with them is one. But he notes as he continues that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. We ought to glory in God that we can know him, boast in him, and who he is, and how to understand him more. Not boast in our understanding. Because again, we're going back to being self-centered. Glorying in the wrong thing, but glorying in our God. But he continues with that, that he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. We glory in God because of this. We see how God is at work in our lives. In the lives of our family, in the lives of our friends, in the life of our nation, in the life of this world. And we should glory in him. Kind of looking as we've done with the book of Revelation and seeing, we've seen that open door into heaven and we've seen the scene in heaven. And we've seen us in a future spot glorying in our God. Lifting up a sevenfold praise and worship of who he is because we're in his presence and we can't but praise and worship him. And all of heaven can't but praise and worship and glory him because he's God. And as we turn and we follow this and see this happen in our lives, that we glory in that we understand and know him. It's going to cause us but what to glory and praise Him. Because of who He is and what He does. It doesn't mean that we are going to live on flowery beds of ease every moment of our lives. Far too many people think that that's just the way it's going to be. And yet He's shown us that's not the way it's going to be. He has brought judgment upon this world in various places. He has judged His own chosen people at times. And again, as we see in the book of Revelation, we see a great judgment of His upon creation. And those in His presence still rightfully praise and worship Him because He is worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of understanding. And I think we'll know more at that time, yes. And we will fully better understand that, yes, even in His judgment, we praise Him. Because He is a just God. He is a holy God. And even in that, He is worthy of our praise. But He brings these things out. Because yes, God does exercise loving kindness. When we read the Scriptures and we get familiar with the whole body of it and can kind of step back and kind of see that big picture, I trust we stand in awe that we see God being loving kindness, yet also just, merciful, gracious, all at once. We see Him in Genesis 6 looking at the world, and it is their thoughts are only wickedness all the time. They're worthy of God's judgment. Yes, they are. They're worthy to die in their sin. But then there comes that three-letter word. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, as men, and I use that word broadly, as human beings, we tend to use that word, well, all the world, everybody is doing this. And we try that in different ways, of course. As, you know, young people, we try to use those kinds of words to encourage our parents to get something for us because everybody else has one, Mom, Dad. And because everybody else has one, I need one too. When really everybody else doesn't have one, but, you know, we've got that big, huge thing of everybody here, you know, just kind of overwhelm this with it. You know, God, Mom, Dad, everybody has one, so therefore I'm deserving of it. I need one too. And we try to think along those lines at times, but God knows everybody was. God knew. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The world, yes, had turned their back on God, but God found one a family of eight who hadn't turned their back on God. We don't often think about it. How was their lives for that, as best we can figure, possibly 120 years of building that ark? Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He sought to reach those that would listen with the message of redemption. God's judgment is coming. Won't you be ready? Won't you prepare with us? And only eight walked into that ark. His wife, his three sons, and his son's wife and himself. We look at our own lives, we see the pressures that the world puts on us. And I would say this, it doesn't compare to what Noah experienced. But Noah found grace. How did he find it? Because he sought God. Sought God exclusively and wasn't mindful about the rest of the world in the sense of pulling him away. God gave him the strength, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. May we in our day glory in our God because he does exercise these things. Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. He's worthy of our boast. He's worthy of his name and his actions being on our lips. And then note what he closes with. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What? That we seek him. That yes, we seek to understand him, to know him. To acknowledge that yes, he does exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And he delights in these things. And what a delight to know him that does all this and so much more. May we not be fearful of standing for him and speaking of these things. I think at times we work ourselves up into a tizzy thinking that, oh, if we say something, man, off rolls our heads. People will make fun of us. People will cancel us. People will stop listening to us. We don't know that, do we? If we never talk, we don't know how they're going to respond. But if we speak up, yes, oh, then we'll know. But you never know what you might miss if we never speak up. We may be that very one that God says, you know what, it's harvest time now. This soul is ready to come to me. Speak the word, and I'll bring the harvest in. We don't know until we're out there. We may come across a fellow believer. What a joy to come across those. Usually we find them in an unknown place. You know, we're out of our normal element, and we strike up a conversation, and, oh, we've got something in common. We're a brother, sister in Christ. Now they're no more a stranger. But we don't know until we open up our mouths. So may we take that time to glory in our God. He's worthy of it. See, I can boast in God. Yes, you can boast in God. He's worthy of our boast. He saved us. Did he have to? Was he under any obligation to reach down with a message of salvation and bring it to you? No, we're not deserving of it. But because of, yes, his loving kindness, his judgment, his righteousness, his mercy, his grace, because of who he is, he did. And we can certainly boast in him of that. God saved me. I didn't save myself. God saved me. He drew me unto himself. He redeemed me. He made me a new life in Christ. He adopted me into his family. We certainly should boast in those things. Our God did that. And as we have those opportunities, and God can do it for you too, just like me. God's no respecter of persons. His message of salvation is open and free to all. So may we glory in our God. We look at our nation and we see a fresh wave in a good sense, a reprieve, as if the dam has been broken and we're able to shine in the light again. The way we never forget who our God is. Yes, I would say he's given us a reprieve. Now let's stand for our God and declare his glory to those around us. The days may be numbered, so may we be bold and glory in our God. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee. We do thank you for thy word. We thank you for the reminder as you were speaking to the children of Israel in their day, the day when they were largely turning their back on you. You were preparing to send them into captivity because of their sin. And yet, even with that notice, you still sent your prophets with your message of redemption, with your message of grace. Turn back. Turn back to God. Father, may we hold that message high in our day. We know that your judgment is coming. We know not when, but we know it's coming. It's nearer now than it was the day before. Nearer now than when you first started prophesying about it in your word. And yes, we see the signs of the times. We see the unrest, the chaos, the turning from you. And yet you call us to continue on keeping on for you. Help us to glory in you. Help us to show forth your praise to a lost and dying world. Help us to show forth your praise to our fellow believers who may have grown a little cold and indifferent, who may have gotten their eyes off of you and have become weak and faint. May you show yourself strong on our behalf so that others may see you through us. Truly, Father, may we glory in you, in who you are and what you not only have done, but what you are doing and what you will do that we know about. Father, send us forth in thy strength. Do a work in our hearts, Father, for those of us that maybe we have grown a little indifferent, a little weak. Our focus has been out of sorts. Cleanse us. Strengthen us. Help us once again, yes, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May you be our focus. May you be our glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.